Welcome to Currents, your leading global voice of maternal feminism. As maternal feminists, we are inviting you to join us, using our voices in the public square for the things that deeply matter: our faith, our families, and our maternal identities. The Currents podcast aims to gather women who are deliberate thinkers and women who are prepared to engage as powerful forces for good in our homes, our communities, and our world.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Dana Robb, and joining me today is Shelley Spotts, and we're with Gloria Ezeomyazi. And I never know if I'm saying that right. Can you pronounce your last name for us?
Ezeomyazi. I always say break it down to three syllables. Ezeomyazi. Yes.
Beautiful. And we recently had a conversation with you about the model of powerful impact, and we wanted to have it again because we know you're a woman of faith, and we wanted to have a conversation about your faith in God and some of the ways that that has guided you in your life.
Yeah, okay. Our faith tenet with Big Ocean really focuses on the fact that through our faith, we feel inspired to act in our communities and to be involved. So we'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the development of your faith.
Well, faith is something that's passed down to me by my parents, especially my mom, who was a lot more active in terms of parenting. So she would do things like, you know, make sure that you go to church first thing Sunday morning. But there's several services in the church. She will say to us, go to the very first one, 6:30 a.m. in the morning, because you're fresh and you're giving the very best of part of the day to God. You know, you haven't done anything wrong. That you know, the early part of the day is always the best to give to God. So that was my mother and how she inculcated faith, or how she taught us faith, because she herself was a woman of great faith. Even if she wasn't going to go to church, she would make sure that we went to church. So that's how we grew up in that environment, knowing that our faith is everything that we have. God is everything. She taught us to depend on God completely. So we grew with that. I grew with that. And I can't imagine a life without faith, because when you're faced with a challenge, you know, where do you go for that final say, for that peace of mind? For me, with that kind of upbringing and with that kind of development, I'm convinced that there's nothing else better than my faith. So it's a treasure. It's something that I treasure so much. And when I talk about faith, I'm talking about the Christian faith, because I know that we have different faiths, you know, as it were. And I grew up in Lagos in Nigeria, and I grew up in the midst of Muslims. So there were predominantly two faiths, so two religions, Christianity and Islam. And we coexisted alongside each other with peace and no problems. Christmas came, you know, Christmas would come, we would all celebrate. They would celebrate their feasts and their festivals without any issues. Yeah, so faith for me is the solid rock, is the bedrock of everything. And then, of course, it's also a unifying thing for me, especially where it works out that way. In Lagos, for example, where we were able to live side by side with Muslims and it wasn't a problem. You know, so I don't, for me now, it means when I hear about conflicts because of differences in religion and or differences in faith, I just wonder why. Because I didn't grow up seeing any difference between me and my neighbor or a child of my age in the school or in the neighborhood. I didn't see any difference. We'll play together, we'll do stuff together. Faith should unify us and not divide us, really. Yeah.
Right. Right. There's something you said about your mother, that, you know, the first thing that you would do on Sunday morning was attend service. And that reminds me of my own mom. She says, you know, the first conversation you should have each day is with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just giving your best and starting that, mm-hmm. starting that day with him. So it sounds like faith has led you in a lot of your life experiences. And so I'm curious if that was a part of your immigration to England from Nigeria.
Yes, very much part of it, because I don't know if I've said that to you before, but I came to the UK to become a nun, a reverend sister within the Catholic Church. So hugely, I came here on the basis of my faith. Along the way, I left the convent as I realized that that wasn't the vocation that God planned for me. And then eventually, of course, I met my husband. I met my husband in the church as well, because I couldn't think of anywhere else to go to be on the lookout for or to be found by my prospective husband other than the church. So I was going to a church where I was very active. And there we met and, you know, we got married in the church. And by God's grace, we are trying our very best to raise our children in the faith as well, Christian faith. So yes, my immigration is tied into my faith. As I said, came here primarily to become a nun, you know, a reverend sister, but that didn't go as planned. I still work very closely with the nuns, the priests. I do different things in the church, you know, on TM, and I enjoy that. That's my main life. I work because I need to work to earn money to pay the bills. Otherwise, I could be just doing what I do in the church and I'll be just very happy. And yeah, that's really the story of my immigration. Obviously, along the way, after a long stay in the country, you do get, if you make the right application and the relevant application, you do get to settle indefinitely. And then as time lapsed, then you apply for the British passport, and which is, you know, where I am now, become a British over the years. So, but I came here on the basis of my faith.
I love this. I think I have found in my own life with faith, sometimes you're led in one direction and you talk about, you know, coming because you were going to become a nun. And sometimes we're led in one direction and that might not be where we end up eventually. But those steps in faith that we take towards that goal, they lead us to where we end up and where we needed to be. Because if you had not wanted to become a nun, and you may not have met your husband there and come and immigrated. So I really love that.
Yeah. I think God has a very wonderful way of leading us down the path that he wants us to go. When I think about when I was making the decision to come to the UK, I remember somebody asking me, because I was meant to go to Kenya or India, because those are the other places where the convents are. And I didn't know anything about Kenya, even though Kenya is in Africa, much more so. I didn't know anything about India. So I was thinking that maybe something would happen. Maybe I would get killed and then I'll become a saint. That was all that was in my... I couldn't picture what life would be or in Kenya. So I was like, maybe if I get there, they would ask me, maybe there'll be situations where I'll be asked to choose between my faith and life. And I thought to myself, I'll simply, you know, hand my life over because I'm not going to give up my faith. So maybe I'm going to be killed or die as a martyr, you know. So when I think about it now, I'm like, I must have been so naive and not current with the history, because at that time in 1993, I'm sure there was never going to be anything like that in India, because I haven't heard that they've subjected Christians at any point to such cruelty or discrimination. And Kenya, of course, I think Kenya is predominantly a Christian country. But it makes me laugh now. But I was willing, though. I was willing. I said to myself, if that was to come up, if that was a decision, I am going to give up my life. I'm not giving up my faith. It also makes me feel, thank you, Lord, that I have this faith to that degree. I mean, at that time, I was very much young, at the age of 20. Now, I hope that if I have to make that kind of decision, that I wouldn't have to think about my children, or I wouldn't have to be so scared or afraid of dying, you know. So, but that's something I felt I should share with you guys. I always laugh at myself when I think about how ignorant I was about the world. But that's what I was.
It was probably important question for you to explore, you know, to know what matters more to me, my faith or my life. And you had your heart in the right place. And
I also think, because I think anyone who is raised with a really strong faith, I do think we grapple with those kinds of questions of what are you willing to give up for your faith? And because I remember thinking about things like that when I was young, and you read stories of saints and martyrs, and you think, you know, would I be willing to do that? As I've gotten older, though, I've decided I actually think living with your faith is almost more of an ask for me as an adult, right? Like, how am I living my faith in my everyday and dedicating myself every day to this faith? And to changing the world around me and trying to make it better and looking at the world with hope. I look at myself as a young person and I think, like, the large sacrifice would have felt not easy, but maybe more of a one final thing, where like a daily dedication is a daily challenge to live those principles and those faith.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it. Yes, living daily.
Yeah.
Your faith is more of a challenge than just that one big decision, you know.
That's
great.
You mentioned, you know, coming to England, you started out wanting to become a nun, but then you were led to your husband and having a family. And how has your faith guided you as a mother and a wife? How has it helped you in your family life?
Well, again, if I'm a good mom and a good wife, it's because of my faith. Because my faith will remind me, you know, to forgive, to love without any reservation. So again, everything I am and I'm able to do in this relationship with my husband, with my children, is all deep rooted in my faith. If I'm angry, you know, I would be angry, yes, and I'll show that I'm angry. But also, it is my faith that will remind me that you mustn't stay angry for long. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun set on your anger. And I remember in the convent, we used to make a joke about the sun doesn't rise here, let alone set in the UK. So how are you going to know when to stop being angry? But I guess, you know, that was just a joke. But the Bible is saying, basically, don't be angry for long. Or for too long. So my faith, again, is what is guiding me in the things, principles, tenets that I teach to my children, you know, love others as you would love yourself, you know, forgive, respect, show empathy, be kind. I took them to church from day one. They were all baptized as infants because that's how the Catholics do it. And they received all the sacraments. And I made sure that they did that at the age where it was required. And we got married in the church. Yes, you know, I love from a place of Christ-like love. You know, even when, if I'm angry with my husband and I know that I am required to forgive somebody I met on the streets as quickly as possible, let alone how much more, you know, am I required, even more so, to forgive my husband quickly, forgive the children. So yes. Any good I am able to do in this relationship, again, I say, is because of my faith. Sometimes I even talk to God and talk to myself and I say to God, you know, if it wasn't for you, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for my belief in you, and I'll be talking to me, I'll be alone and I'll be conversing with God in that way. Especially when I'm very upset, as a human being, this is what I would have said to him, or this is what I would have done. You know, so I really, really treasure the fact that I have that faith to guide me in how I am being every day.
Yeah, you have an outlet. Because of your relationship with God, you have an outlet to take your anger and frustration to Him, and He can change your heart. I remember hearing that one time, you know, don't take your frustrations to your husband, take them to the Lord and let let it out to him and he will guide you on what to say. I love that you're like, I would have said this. If I didn't know you, I would have said this to him. Do you have any examples of using your faith in parenting?
Apart from, you know, teaching my children, you know, not to take things that don't belong to them or not to lie or stand up for the less able in the class and things like that. One thing that always comes to mind is when the Catholic school that my children were in, the government was trying to get them to start teaching sex education to children from, I think it was age 5 then. And then also to teach them about the different types of families. And they came home with a letter and I was like, oh my, is this what these children are going to now have to find out about? So I sat there and I said to them, you know, this is what the government wants the schools to do. But this is what we believe in as Catholics, as Christians. You know, is man and woman married? That's the family that we know. That's the traditional family. These other families is what the country wants, is what the society wants. But that's not what God wants for you or for us. You know, so you need to bear that in mind. You know, before that even, we used to talk about being married first before you can live with a man, a woman living with a man or a man living with a woman. You need to be married first. And I remember my daughter came home one day and she was like, oh, but Mr. So-and-so, my teacher, Mr. So-and-so, he lives with his girlfriend and they are not married. So mom, how come Mr. So-and-so can live with his girlfriend? And so I had to start explaining what it means to be a practicing Catholic and how some people can be Christians and not be practicing their faith. And I had to explain that. And I remember my daughter was just staring at me like she didn't fully understand that, because this is a Catholic school. The teacher comes, takes them to church because they have some activities in the church, like harvest times. They have mass regularly as a school community in the church. She knows that these staff members, and the girlfriend also eventually became a staff member. She was employed there as well. So, I mean, it was in their face that this way of living that was not what they've been hearing us teach at home was in their faces every day in school. You know, so that's one example that I know my kids, even up till now, they'll be struggling with. But I always say to them, this is what Jesus wants us to do. This is what the Bible says. What you see out there, or what you even see me do sometimes, might not tally with that, but you need to know for yourself and, you know, have that relationship with Jesus yourself and know for yourself what the right thing to do is, so that you're not shaken by anyone. Because, for example, I always give them the example that if I didn't have my faith before I came to the UK, I'm sure I would have ended up differently, because I saw different kinds of ways of living, of doing things, and I didn't come with my parents. I came alone. So I could have used my freedom in every which way, you know. So that's, I would say those are my examples, really. I always tell them that my faith, I would not swap my upbringing for any upbringing that I see here, because, you know, I have something that is very, very important, a treasure, very tangible. So, you know, I'm able to stand firm in my faith. For them here, you know, they get blown every which way. You know, that's the kind of conversations I have with my children.
I really love that, because I feel like one of the things that faith does offer me is that space to have those really good conversations with our family and with our children and even with friends, and a space of going, you know, these are my beliefs and this is how I'm practicing my beliefs. And that other person might be practicing their beliefs differently, but that doesn't change what we believe. And it doesn't change, you know, how we practice our beliefs. So, no, I really love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gloria, tell us the story about getting involved with Big Ocean.
Yeah, I came to the UN on my own, and I was at the CSW for 2 weeks the first time I came, because I wasn't sure how it worked. So I just booked myself 2 weeks holiday and came. So I went from one place, one event to the other. I must have gone to about 20 events. And then when I came back to the UK, I wasn't sure where to start from, because I had collected so many business cards and made a lot of notes and met a lot of people, a lot of contact. I didn't know where to start from, you know, in terms of connecting with any of the organizations that I met there. But one thing that stood out for me with the Big Ocean Women was the emphasis on faith and the family and motherhood and how all that was intertwined. So I remember that and the Big Ocean Women's event and how some of us were interviewed and recorded. Yeah. So the faith aspect of the Big Ocean Women stood out, and I liked how that was wrapped in with motherhood and family life, and how with your faith as a woman, how you can actually challenge some of the things that you see in your society, in your community, and how we can stand in solidarity with other women of faith. And that had a big, you know, it resonated with me big time, because that's what I'm about. That's really the life, the only life that I know, my life as a woman and as a woman of faith, you know. So I just picked out Big Ocean Women from the very many cards and numbers and what have you, details, contact information that I had gathered, you know, and then I made contact with the Big Ocean Women, and I said I wanted to be part of it, part of the vision and mission. Yeah, and then we started. I remember, I think it was Kalisa that gave me some of the training about how to start the Big Ocean Women here. And whenever I talk about the Big Ocean Women, the first thing I say to people that I'm you know, trying to get to join, I say to them, this is a group about faith. It's, you know, it's a group about faith, about women and our faith. And the fact that it's not just the Christian faith is also very liberating. So I don't have to worry about somebody saying to me, oh, I want to join, but I'm not a Christian. You know, I'm free to say, oh, yes, of course, you can join us. You don't have to be a Catholic or a Christian to be part of us. But you need to be authentic in your faith. And I want to believe that I've not come across anyone whose faith as a Muslim. I've not come across any other faiths anywhere, apart from Christian and Muslims. You know, and the people that I've encountered, they're safe. The Muslims that I've encountered, they're safe. You know, so I don't have to worry about, you know, if I was to get involved with somebody of a different faith, I might be endangering myself, or I might be putting myself in a risky position. So yes, Big Ocean Women stood out for me because of the faith that you shared. And you were, you know, the whole event seemed quite organic. I like the atmosphere. And then the assurance that comes with knowing that this is a group of people that share the commonalities that is the faith, the common factor is the faith. So yes, so that's how I came across Big Ocean, and the attraction, again, like I said, is a faith factor.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that drew me to it as well, because everyone that you talk to, we may not have exactly the same faith and we may practice our faith differently, but we are all drawn together by the fact that our faith tells us that we can act to strengthen our families and we can act to strengthen our communities, and that globally we can change things by acting together, and that we can make real change happen. I think that's really empowering, because a lot of times we feel in a lot of situations like there's not much we can do to change the way things are.
Yeah. And I think even adding to that, even if our faith is different, we still recognize that there is someone above us, someone with more power, a higher power that we can trust in, that will help us accomplish these things, that is also invested in our well-being and wants us to accomplish things.
Yeah, based on what you said, I think that's a progression for me, you know, us working together and on drawing strength from our faith together, we're able to strengthen families and communities. I really like that as well, because, you know, in the Catholic faith, we talk about the communion of saints, basically. The saints doesn't mean they're in heaven. Some saints are here, as we believe, You know, the communion of saints simply means that we're working together. Even if we're not together physically, we're working together. But even more so, we're able to work together and change and have impact, make changes and have impact around the world when we work from a place of faith. So it's very, very, like you said, a boring word. It is, you know, very empowering to know that I can impact somebody in Kenya or in Guatemala, you know, wherever, because we share faith as something that binds us together, and we can pull that faith together in that communion to be able to strengthen one another and strengthen our communities and families and achieve the common desired changes that we want to see. I like that about the Big Ocean Women.
We would love to hear about your experience in the Gambia as we're talking about working around the world and globally.
Yes, the Gambian experience is a very beautiful one, in the sense, again, you know, it was brought about by the faith factor again, because the president of the Big Ocean Wave in the Gambia, she came to the UK, she came to London to study, to do her master's, and we came across, and she's a very strong woman of faith. You know, we're talking about challenges with children, and she kept saying, you know, you need to pray, just carry on praying, pray for them. You know, and I was really, really taken by how much faith she expressed in the power of prayer, you know, keeping the prayer going for your children. And so I looked at her and I thought, I can talk to this woman about the Big Ocean Movement, you know, so. Yeah. So I spoke with her, and we started talking about the Big Ocean Women, because she actually stayed with us in my home here. So every evening we talk and talk. So I spoke to her about the Big Ocean Women, what we stand for, what we do. And I said, would you like to start the Big Ocean in the Gambia? She said, oh, yes. When I go and finish my dissertation, I'll be free and I can start, you know. So I gave her the space to do what she needed to do. And as soon as she was ready, we revisited the matter of starting the Big Ocean in the Gambia. And before you say, Jack, she's gathered women, again, women of faith. There's about 20-something of them. I think they have two or three Muslims amongst them. The rest are Christian of different Christian denominations. You know, but when I went there, there was no difference between the Muslims, so they really worked well together. They worked with so much synergy. I was like, wow. It felt really nice for women to come together and work together without looking or any kind of differences showing, because we shared one thing that is very, very precious to us, and that was faith, you know. So we took the reusable sanitary kits to them as the first thing, the first project, or the first step. Means of empowerment that we took to the Gambia, and we were able to distribute to the Muslim girls in school and the Christians there, the Pentecostals, and then of course the Catholic, you know. So we made sure that these different setups were able to benefit from the reusable kits, you know, because again, we were not there just for the Muslims or the Catholics or the Pentecostals. That we were there as women of faith that want to make an impact in the community, you know. And we also went to a Muslim community. It wasn't a school now, but we went to see and distribute to women in the community, and they were all Muslims. And we've felt quite safe, especially when we explained to them that, you know, we're women of faith just like you, because they had their hijab on and everything. And we made sure that, you know, we asked them questions to ensure that they were comfortable with talking about something like menstruation, because a lot of the time in some cultures and in some other faiths, they don't like to talk about those things. But we respected that, and they made it clear through their interpreter that they were happy for us to talk about that. And I think they were put more at ease knowing that, you know, we're also women of faith. We may not be wearing hijabs and we may not be Muslims, but we understand that they have a faith and we respect whatever they stand for in terms of their faith, you know. And they made us welcome. We felt comfortable. We, you know, sat with them, ate with them, you know, gave them some food parcels and gave them the reusable kits. And they were so, so, so happy. And we were happy too, because it's always nice when faith is the factor that brings people together. I know, yes, you know, we were doing some charity work, and it's always good to give, and that in itself made us quite happy. But the faith that we shared, especially with the Big Ocean members, women, knowing that we were from different backgrounds, but our faith was what brought us all together. We have pastors among them, young women pastors there, you know. Yeah, before we even met, I'd seen some of the ladies in the church where I attended on that Sunday. I'd seen some of them in the Catholic church. And then when I saw them when we together, I was like, oh, I think I saw you in the church. You know, so it was really beautiful. It was beautiful to see how operating within that circle, within that mindset of our faith and of our common belief in God, as you said, Shelley, that we have the higher entity, God, who is above us all. You know, it was really a very enriching experience. We didn't stay long, and looking back now, we had stayed at least up to a week, but we only went there for 4 days, but it was a very fruitful 4 days. Yeah, it was nice.
I love that. Yeah. I think, I have had this thought quite frequently, that all of these divisions that we're told are things that are supposed to keep us separate. Like the fact that maybe we do practice our faiths differently, that people who belong to different congregations or like this division between Christianity and Muslim. It really, to me, seems like there is more that is drawing us together than there is that is separating us, because we do all have this faith. And that can be such a beautiful way of unifying people that are very different to work together to improve and to make things better for everyone.
Yes. This is a good propellant. Faith can be a very good force. It's a good force, a positive force to lead people forward, to achieve good things for more people than when we're divided. Yes.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a great place for us to finish our conversation. Let's use our faith to unite us and to work together. We can accomplish so much more when we are united. Even if we have differences, we find those commonalities and we work together. Thank you so much, Gloria. This has been a delightful conversation. Thank you for your example of faith and for sharing that with us. And we encourage all of our listeners to connect with their own faith, however they still drawn.
Yes, thank you.
You have been listening to Currents, a podcast by Big Ocean Women. You can find us on the internet at bigoceanwomen.org, on Instagram, and on Facebook. We are each one powerful drop in a big ocean of change. Join us in one of our local chapters, Waves, or Women Achieving Vast Empowerment. Our music is First Rain by Ian Post. Editing and production is by Fifth East Productions. Please join us again next week for in-depth discussion about interesting ideas and about people who are trying to make a difference in their communities.